Whataburger has been making breakfast for almost 40 years, and burgers for almost 70 years. So making a breakfast burger with fresh 100% beef, a hand-cracked egg, bacon, cheese, hash browns, and our creamy pepper sauce seems kind of obvious, right? Of course it does. Now. Good thing there's the new limited-time breakfast burger, served 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. at Whataburger.
Today at Whataburger, we're cooking the sweet and spicy bacon burger.
You can't beat it. It's hot, it's fresh.
The sweet and spicy bacon burger is my all-time favorite.
I love this burger. It's just perfect.
Two beef patties, two different types of cheese, caramelized onions. My favorite thing about this burger is the sweet and spicy pepper sauce and the bacon.
The sweet and spicy bacon burger is an all-time favorite at Whataburger.
That's happiness.
The Winamp off, hopefully so. We are live on Discovery Paranormal, and we always have to check the gadgets and the stuff. Otherwise, you know what? You're not going to be able to hear the good stuff going on, man. Tonight on this here show, we're going to talk about spiritual warfare. You know, I touched on curses. We talked about curses a couple shows ago, and even a little bit on the last one. And, you know, that type of stuff that's out there, people don't like you. Let's face it, they're going to put a curse on you, man. And then if they do, you need to know what the hell to do to get that curse off of you. A lot of people end up going to you know, voodoo, priestess, whatever, man. And then, you know, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not good. Sometimes they ask you for crazy amounts of money, and then, you know, you don't do stuff like that. So it's better just take care of it yourself. And then tonight's show is more about the warfare, the demons, man, the demons. A lot of people believe in demons. Me personally, I believe in bad spirits. I'm not going to say there's no demons. I'm not going to say there are demons. And yeah, there probably are demons, you know, because I've seen people pretty far out there, and you know that there's something more going on inside of them than just them being an asshole. You know what I mean? A lot more going on inside of that person. So I was reading an article about this dude in Oregon. He's an exorcist who claims he's had the ability to conquer satanic forces since he was 4 years old. Right? 4 years old. That's pretty badass if it's true. You know, even if it's not true, the guy's like, saying he's kicking Satan's ass at 4 years old. You know, that's the guy you probably want to be friends with in school, or maybe not. You know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of like, hey, this guy kicks Satan's ass, you know, 4 years old. So last week, he warned that modern American society, with its interest in things such as drugs, internet, Ouija boards, all that stuff, and all kinds of books. There's books, you know, Amazon, they got all kinds of demonic books. It's kind of like, it's like the media has really brought, you know, that type of thing to the forefront. And as I see, like, look at Netflix or Amazon or whatever, and they got a show that's Lucifer, Satan, who got bored being Satan, so he decided to be a crime fighter. I'm a crime fighter, a crime fighting Satan. Like, they're trying to make Satan look good. Like, they're trying to make him look like, hey, look, the guy saves babies, you know. Dude, it's Satan. You know, it's supposed to be the epitome of evil, right? No matter what you think about it, no matter if you believe in Satan or not, because there's a lot of people out there that, you know, there's people that believe in all kinds of stuff, but we can all kind of agree on some stuff. We can all agree that there's evil in the world. They're bad people, bad stuff, negativity. We can also agree that there's good in the world, right? And all kinds of stuff in between. As long as we can agree about that, then we understand that there is a zone of good and evil, you know? So this dude is an exorcist, right? And not, Archbishop James Cloud. And you know, he looks pretty intimidating. He's got a big cigar in his mouth. He looks the part. He looks like the kind of guy that's going to show up and kick Satan's ass. He's not going to show up and be like, you know, wussy out. You know what I mean? So, but he says as the years go by, the cases are getting darker, and lamented the fact that many churches give a very sanitized approach to basically to the evil, you know what I mean? I mean, like, you can't half-ass it if you're dealing with the devil, you know what I mean? So he says the devil and his crew's malevolent influence is impressed upon the world, and it's getting bigger, and it's getting worse, it's getting more powerful, you know. So throughout the scriptures, we see examples of angels interacting on earth, getting jiggy with it in some cases. Devils and Satan himself interacting on earth. And this is what I don't get, right? I'm going to stop you right there. In the Bible, it says that the archangel Michael, right, took Satan and tossed him out of heaven down to earth. Down to earth. He didn't say put him down in hell. He didn't say sent him to whatever, Hades. Earth. And that's it ended there. Down to earth with a whole bunch of other fallen angels. Down to earth. Where we are, right? I think you're on the earth, maybe. I am, probably. But I just don't get the whole hell thing. When they say hell, and we do these investigations, you know, paranormal investigations all the time. And I ask the heaven and hell question every time. Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? They always say yes for heaven. They never say yes for hell. So think about that. That's very interesting in of itself, I think. So this guy, Cloud, belongs to a splinter Catholic group, and a former Anglican. He claimed he was kicked out of the Anglican Church for his focus on spiritual warfare. So this guy wants to be, you know, the Green Beret, the Navy SEAL of the spiritual world, go out there and conquer. And I've seen these dudes. I've talked to them. I've seen them. I've also seen people who bullcrap a lot. You know, I'm not saying he's a bullcrapper. I'm not saying anything. I don't know him. I'm going to say that I've talked to people who said that they're demonologists and they're like teenagers, you know what I mean? They got like no experience. And, you know, I guess if you're chosen to fight Satan, I guess you could be 4 years old fighting Satan. You know what I mean? I don't know how you would do it at that point or whatever, but that's a pretty big statement to make. All right. So Cloud said of himself, if I hadn't seen half the stuff I've seen in life, I wouldn't believe it either until it actually happens. And this is true because you don't know anything until you really experience it, man. You know, the map is not the territory. I could read this crap all night long. And unless you actually go out there and experience that type of energy, you know, that type of evil, that type of and, you know, I'll tell you, man, it's nasty. It's dank. I've experienced it on all kinds of levels. And I'll tell you, it exists. But what about mental health, right? And a lot of these exorcism cases, and I'm talking about exorcists because this guy's an exorcist, but, you know, I want to go even in deeper into the whole spiritual warfare with voodoo and that type of thing. But a lot of these exorcist cases, especially throughout the past, I mean, they you know, I'm going to read a bunch of them later on if I got time. They kill people. They sit on their chests and kill them, you know what I mean? Thinking that they were possessed by Satan or the devil or whatever, Beelzebub, and they're displaying these weird things and whatever. It wasn't normal compared to normal, you know, of what they think normal is in everyday life. And just like the witch trials, when people start blaming each other to be a witch, this person's a witch, you know, they only had a couple of ways of telling you if you weren't a witch. They push you off a cliff, and if you fly away, you're a witch. If you fall and die, then you're a good dead Christian, right? And the same thing with stones. They would put stones on top of their chests, you know? And if you lived, you were a witch. If you died, so it's a shit sandwich either way. If I was a witch, I'd just get up on my broom and lay the whole goddamn village to waste. Why didn't they do that? you know, they continued that nonsense in Massachusetts until they actually accused the governor's wife of Massachusetts of being a witch, and they put an end to the whole thing. But there are people that have mental health problems. We see that every day. We see it in politics. We see it in our lives. I'm sure you, everybody knows some. Even maybe, you know, I mean, probably all of us have some kind of thing. I don't think anybody out there doesn't have some kind of thing. For the people that say that they're normal, I really don't know what the hell normal is, because I've never seen it. And I'm not normal. In fact, I'm abnormal, you know, beyond normal. And I don't want to be normal either, because normal seems awfully boring for the description of what normal is. It's white rice. I want something in there, man. You know, I want some chicken fried rice. I want to mix it up, right? So, but as of Cloud, he says that if he had to differentiate, is it mental health or is it a legitimate issue that's going on, like a demonic issue? So he said, if I can rule out the first two, then what I'm left with is something that's potentially legitimate. You know what? I'll tell you, man, that's the most freaking honest thing I've ever heard anybody say, which leads me to believe that this guy is pretty legit. Because it's about the exploration of a subject, you know. And I know people who were very straight-laced people in the world, country club types. Doctor and his wife, just locally, right? His son, basically, went to college in Texas. And they arranged, you know, the guy got into a bad group and then all types of terrible things were happening, you know, just what might call bad luck around him and anybody who he touches and that type of thing, operating on that type of level, all kinds of weirdness and bad things happening. And then, you know, if people start speaking in tongues and doing weird stuff, you might need an exorcist, right? Or you might need a psychiatrist. One of those. You know, it'd be easier if psychiatrists just did exorcisms. You know what I mean? I think that I like cutting out the middleman. You know, Dr. Phil shows up, does a little bit of umaguma. You know what I mean? Get rid of that. Be gone, Satan. You know, can you speak to Dr. Phil? Say that big mustache. Be gone, Satan. You know? Ah! You know what I mean? And then... then he could like berate them like he does people on the show. Are you stupid? What's wrong? He's saying, are you moron? Yeah. I'm sorry, Dr. Phil. I've had problems ever since I was thrown out of heaven, man. I feel rejected, man. Rejected. Well, I think there's a place for you. We got a place in Texas. You go, you'll be evaluated, Satan. You'll be asked questions. You got to answer honestly, not like you normally do with your lies. But thank you, Dr. Phil. Thank you so much. Dr. Phil, can I meet Oprah? F you. Get out of here. Get the hell out of here, Satan. Now I'll throw your ass out. Mm. So that's me. I'm on the fence about everything, obviously, because that's just, I like to explore. I like to know. I like to see things. You know, when I got into paranormal investigations, I had, from the first few investigations, there was things that I wanted. I wanted to have a conversation with someone who wasn't there. A conversation. I wanted to see something of my own. You know, I wanted to experience that energy and just not you sitting there talking to yourself in an empty room. That there's something tangible. And I experienced those things. And I was shocked. Like, oh, shocked. I was shocked, man. We got some pictures that blow your mind. Shocked. So I'm like, I can't be one of those things, right? Well, you have to wrap your head around it. That can't be. No, it is. So with me, I know a lot of people who are crazy. And I think that I also, you know what? Also multiple personalities, right? I have theories on everything. You ask me, I got it. I got you covered, man. So I was watching this special a long time ago about these dudes in prison who are locked up in mental wards, you know, and this guy had, you know, like 8 different personalities, right? So the person interviewing him, he was talking normal. He said, fine, every day, kind of person, whatever. And then the person interviewing asked if this other personality could come out, you know, the one who allegedly did the crimes, right? Because this guy's saying he didn't do anything. It was one of his personalities that went and murdered a bunch of people. That's why he's where he is. And then in front of the camera, this guy's face, the whole bit, when this other personality came out, and like he had to argue with him to get him out there, you know, his face morphed completely. His eyes, his face, I mean, his skin, he looked literally like a different person. I think it's hard to fake something like that. I think even if you have multiple personalities, something like that is beyond that. And there are a lot of people who believe that it's not multiple personalities, that there are multiple spirits in there, you know, or possessions or whatever you want to call it, right? Aside from Dr. Phil, you know what I mean? Who I think is possessed. But belief is a big deal. And man, I don't try to believe, you know, make people believe anything. Anyway. I take skeptics on these ghost hunts sometimes, especially if I know things are going to be pretty active, because it's fun to watch them scream and run out of a place. You know what I mean? Like, and be terrified for like, you know, years after, like, oh my God, I can't believe what you guys do. Oh yeah. Well, what do you think we're doing? We just, you know, walk around an empty building talking to ourselves, you know, and then we go into places where there's issues. It's not like, you know, not like we're seeking these things out. We're called into places, and that's a whole different thing. And we don't charge people. We just do it. You know, we do it for them. We do it for us. So, but this dude says about, there's the difference, right? He says, a lot of people just don't believe you. I didn't think anything of this stuff that existed prior. So this guy's like, they're constantly making noise. The people who are possessed, right? He said the ones around him just hiss. They hiss at him. You know, a lot of hissing. But, you know, let me ask you this, because you guys are smart. If you're a demon, do you really want to tell people you're a demon, or you want to be kind of deceptive? You know, you want to be deceptive and operate on a covert level, because you want to be able to function as a demon, so this dude Cloud doesn't come and try to kick your butt when he's 4 years old. You know, so you want to be able to mask it best possible and still function. So that's what gets me about the ones who are and hissing and whatever. I'm not saying that it's not that energy out there, because, you know, so many stories that I'm going to read towards the end of the show, yeah, people levitated in front of others, man. And then, you know, yeah, you can believe them or not believe them when it comes down to hearsay evidence. You know, unless you have a picture, you got to show me. And then even so, you know, a lot of people just don't want to believe. So even the picture, they're going like, ah, oh, you know, it's bullcrap. It's this, it's that, and this, or whatever. And they rigged it. And you're saying that people are really going awfully far to fake something, you know. I wouldn't waste my time, me personally. If people said, oh, yeah, I show them a picture. Here's a full-body apparition. You see their eyes, their eyebrows, you know, basically, right? All facial features, their bodies. And then I have pictures of full-body apparitions with people standing next to them, and you can see the difference between the two. You know, it's not Photoshopped. I don't even know how to use Photoshop, and I wouldn't use it if I had to fake something stupid like that. You know, it just is what it is. And I like to say that. It is what it is. You tell people, I'm sorry that your perception is so limited that your brain's shutting down, and you can't, you know, just say, okay, I'm looking at a picture of a person, but that person wasn't in that room. It's an apparition. It's somebody who died. And then they are. There they are. Right in front of your face. Caught on camera. Right? And that's pretty amazing. You know, when I see these things, you know, I mean, if you're a paranormal investigator, I mean, a lot of people are who listen to the show. And you guys know, when you go out, you collect your evidence, you know, and this is the middle of night, because, you know, we tend to say the veil is thin around 2-3, you know, from 2 to 4 o'clock in the morning, basically. So we do this, I mean, we started getting things together at 10 or 11 or midnight, you know, and then start rolling by 1 o'clock in the morning. So this is something all nighter. You're doing your business. And, you know, when you're done, you pack up, you go home, go to a diner and get some food and go home, that type of thing. It's you go over your evidence. The second you walk through the door, man, you're like, you know, you just start looking at stuff, looking at pictures and listening to things, listening for EVPs and whatever. And it's just, that's part of that energy. And when you do these investigations, you're not quite the same for a couple of days. There, the energy is totally different, you know. So it's just an interesting thing. But as opposed to, have I met anybody who's been possessed? Yes. And no. Yes. Yes. In one situation, we had a psychic with us, and she had gotten taken over by something, and she was flipping, man. We have it on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/discoveryparanormal, all one word, and it's the Taylor investigation, you know. I think I called it Taylor Redux, because we've been there a few times, something like that. So this girl, Tammy, she was like flipping. We had three mediums that night, you know, and that last particular night, she's like flipping out, starts crying, oh, like, you know, and then we had contacted a spirit in there that we called, you know, Cahill, because he said his name. We have an EVP of him saying his name. When I say, what is your name? And you could hear the kid's voice saying, Cahill, you know, all right? So, and there's a lot to that. If I end up talking about that, I'm not going to talk about anything else tonight, so I'm not going to talk about that. Anyway, she started acting loopy, a little wonky, a little weird, and then we were calling Cahill out, and it was probably about maybe 7 or 8 of us, something like that. I like keeping groups pretty small. That's large. You know, usually it's 3, you know? So smaller the better, I think. The more they want to come over to you, there's less commotion. Also, the least amount of people, the more you can isolate evidence, you know, and however it is, right? Anyway, we're calling out to Cahill. Cahill, you know, come show yourself, right? That's what you say. Come show yourself. And then Tammy goes, that little boy's not leaving his room. We're like, oh, yeah, where'd that come from? And she starts flipping. And then she almost fell down the staircase. And weird that in that house, a young girl was pushed over the staircase and she died, you know, and that's a whole nother story. But it's just weird that energy tried to do that. And then Pete was over there by the staircase and he was kind of blocking it, so she couldn't do that. Then she tried going up to the attic, you know, and that's where all the action was going on. That's where we had isolated a really negative entity that was in that house up there, you know. And we went up there and chased his ass around with holy water. See, that's how we roll, man. It's fun. but she had to go outside and ground herself. She was out. So I look out the window. I stayed behind with this other, another medium named Cindy and her daughter. So we were all, you know, we're not leaving. There was the guy in there was like this reverend. So I'm like, we're not leaving. I look out the window and like Tammy's doing push-ups in the parking lot. I'm like, oh, that's weird. Yeah. Then we all go outside. Ended up talking for a while. They were smoking cigarettes, doing their thing. We're talking about, you know, the first half of what was going on inside, right? And then, you know, about 25, 30 minutes later, we all decided to go back inside and continue. And the mediums really wanted to gather into the best energy, the best spot in that building was an 8,000 square foot building, you know, so they wanted to gather in the best spot. And I think that's where the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts had their meetings. It was a meeting hall at one time back in the day. So I thought it was positive energy. I'm like, go there and then get rid of these spirits, right? And then so Pete and I will go up to the attic and face down what we had to face down, you know, keep them busy. So we walked back inside this place, big, giant, heavy doors, you know. House was built in probably 1860, somewhere around there. Big heavy doors, man. We go back inside and all of our lights are on, like all these sensor lights that we have. Like you got to walk in front of these things and we use them for those investigations on purpose because it's been successful. You know, they just don't go on by themselves, you know. So Then when I walk in, I have the camera rolling. I'm holding it in my hand, and I get this chick singing like la 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 like that. So yeah, that's why you do it, you know, and you do it to help people on all sides. You know what I mean? So in this case, when it comes to demons, and you know, in that house, there was nothing demonic, basically, right? But I'm not going to say that those forces don't kind of run that type of energy. I do know a guy who says he's plagued with demons and all kinds of stuff, and they have names like elf and that type of thing. And, you know, I mean, like, and you would say to yourself, you know, this dude's freaking potso, he's a little crazy, right? You know, saying all those things that he's saying. I mean, pretty wild stories. And then we start investigating the dude, and this is best evidence we ever got. Those full body apparitions, all in his place, attracted to him, right? So you never can tell with people if they're really being serious. I mean, but this dude couldn't sleep at night and whatever. One time I was talking to him on the phone, and then I heard that voice say, stay away, you know, while he was talking. I'm like, oh, man. But we don't stay away, you know, so that's the point of it. So like this dude who is an exorcist, I get that. And I'm got this guy, Father Francis, who's going to be coming on the show soon. We're just trying to get a time because he's in the Philippines. And he wrote some books. He's the chief exorcist for the Catholic Church there, right? He trains other exorcists. So I thought it'd be great to talk to him, especially about mental illness and mental health, you know, because I think it's an interesting subject. And how do you differentiate between the two? So I guess if someone's got, you know, OCD or borderline personality disorder or anything like that, or bipolar, they're not going to levitate in the middle of the room by themselves, and the walls aren't going to start bleeding. So I think that you can tell the difference between the two with some cases. But in the past, people have killed people because they were mentally ill. And they said that they were, you know, possessed. So exorcisms, you know, are big in the Catholic Church. In Italy alone, there's over 500,000 requests for exorcism. But 500,000 requests, that's a lot of demons, man. And there's like 278 exorcists, I believe, in the whole system. So it's an in-demand job. You can look on Indeed and put in exorcist. And maybe you can make some bucks, you know, nighttime work usually. So in May, the Roman Catholic Church announced that they were opening up their annual exorcism course at the Pontifical University, PU, to major Christian denominations in response to a reported rise in demonic possession. So demand, increase it, right? You know, supply, demand. So now they're accepting, you know, it used to be really tight of who they'd accept in this course. Now you can, you too can go to PU and learn how to be an exorcist. All as long as you're a little Christian. You don't even have to be a big Christian, right? So Father Pedro Barajan said, expelling the devil goes back to the earliest origins of the Christian church. The Catholic rite is very structured, whereas some of the other churches are more creative. They don't use a precise format. So now, format, you know what I mean? I think that the demon inside of whomever, or how many demons are in there, I don't think that they're going to adhere to a certain type of format. It's just about getting them out of there, right? Driving them away, purifying, whatever you got to do. And I'm going to give you a whole bunch of examples on how to protect yourself, maybe, you know, because there's nothing's written in stone. Ain't no guarantees in life. You know what I mean? Not really. Death and taxes, pretty much, right? But format. This is like the arrogance, I think, is a good word for of the Catholic Church, because they don't recognize a lot of exorcists that are not in the Catholic Church, right? Yeah, I used to live in South Amityville, man. I was two blocks away from Amityville Horror House. So I knew a lot about exorcisms because it's the talk of the town. You're at the 7-Eleven, you're getting your Slurpee, people talking. Hey, you hear about that exorcism at the Amityville Horror House? Oh, yeah. You know, eating your burrito, listening to exorcism talk. That's the way it is. That's the way we rolled in South Amityville. See? You wonder why I'm screwed up. But I don't think that these people have no power, because I don't think you have to be Catholic to have any kind of power. You know, I think that if you follow these organized religions, you're actually giving a lot of your own freedom away when it comes to doing things. So if you're going to fight evil, and if you're called, let's face it, man, it's a calling. It's a calling. You don't just wake up one day, you know, an exorcist. I think that it's a calling. I think that people, just like ghost hunting, you know, paranormal investigation. I have ghost hunter friends who hate it when I call it ghost hunting. But, and they're like, what do you got mounted on your wall? Yes, I do. How'd you know? Got their heads mounted on the wall. Damn it. I do have some stuff. Got some skull fragments. We digged up a guy's lawn because the dowsing rods told us that there was a body buried there. We found some stuff. So, yeah, that is what we do. But I met a lot of people who clean houses, man, and they're good at it. And, you know, sometimes it really works. Sometimes it really doesn't work. You know, I got one. A medium that we used to work with, and now she's taking a break. She's a nurse now, you know, doing that and healing people and whatever. So, and that's probably the best nurse for you to have, a really good psychic medium, you know what I mean? But she actually sat down. There was one couple that was being tormented. They didn't want to be on camera. They didn't want their house on camera, you know, and that's fine, because part of the deal that we come in, we shoot, we make a show out of it, whatever you can call it, you know, video. And put it out there. But if people don't want that, that's cool too. You know what I mean? It is what it is. You know, privacy is really important, obviously. So this couple, the lights were going on and off, TV on and off, middle of the night, whatever. And then, you know, a few times they would walk outside and the door would slam and lock behind them, right? Not the wind, nothing like that. They kind of went through all the things that it could be. So we had this girl going there, and she went in by herself, went down the house, sat down for 2 hours and talked to the entity, the angry entity that was there that didn't even know he was dead, apparently, and thought people were living in his house, and, you know, made a deal like, hey, you know, it's not your house anymore. You can stay here, but don't bother these people, type of thing. And lo and behold, from that day on, nothing happened after that. Everything was fine. Right. So it's like not every situation is the same. And when it comes to like these demons or people putting some kind of like, you know, thing on you, that's a little different than or like, you know, when I talked about curses, cursing an item or a location or a person. So, but check this out. Demons are bound by the rules of God, right? They have to operate within those rules. So their normal activity is temptation. They want to pollute people, and they want you to be tempted in a way. Desire, right? But I mean, there's good desire, there's bad, there's good temptation, bad temptation. So they're allowed to do that to us our entire lives. So, you know, I mean, but this is more of a Catholic dude talking. God has them all on the leash, and he lets the leash go enough to let them tempt us, because that's what makes us spiritually stronger. I don't believe in that. I believe that this is hell, and we're all here together, good for bad, right? And then your daily life is about survival and trying to make the best of it and being there for your friends, your loved ones, your family, a whole bit. You know, I believe that it's a war. It's not just God's got demons on a leash. It sounds freaking ridiculous to say. This guy's a Catholic priest, you know what I mean? Freaking ridiculous. Here he is talking about his own rules in the Catholic Church on how, of course, you know, they're a protocol and they have to do things a certain way. They don't impress me. They never did. They never will. You know, me personally, because I've seen things, and the things that I've seen had nothing to do with the Catholic Church, you know? And like I said, I've known people in life that were horrible people, and you know that in death, they're horrible spirits. So whatever, man. But then he goes on to say demon possession only happens if we invite the demon in. I don't believe in that either, you know? Because, I mean, it depends on how you consider it. Invite them in. Yeah, people messing around with a Ouija board. We say don't, you know? And like this dude said, you know, if you get into drugs, social media, Ouija boards, you know, you're talking about beyond temptation. Look at social media for what it is. How many guys out there, honest question, how many guys out there have a Facebook account with these girls who send you these invites to be their friends? And these are like top level model type of girls and dressed in like, you know, bikini or showing their boobs or, you know, some hot dress and that. And they only got like two or three pictures on there because it's bullcrap. It's a fake site, you know. But then these guys, how many guys out there have them on your page? You know how I know you do? Because when these girls send me those things, I see if we have shared friends. And there's always a few dudes in there that I know that you know, just add them because they want to live that fantasy, you know, of that desire and temptation. Is that a bad thing? It's bad if they're hacking your Facebook. It's bad if you're affected negatively. And that's kind of what they're out there. They want to affect you negatively. So, yeah, we could say that hackers out there and those people, the criminals who want to, you know, perpetrate crimes against you and yours, those people are not on a good path. And they're not going to spread happiness around the world. They're going to spread misery around the world. So you invite them in some cases, but not in all cases. And definitely if someone throws a curse on you, you're not inviting that in. You know, it's a done deal. Right. So, but this guy, the Catholic priest, his name is Bly. He says there are 9 ranks of demons. He's got ranks like a military, you know. And then if you look in Catholicism, they like to have a hierarchy, and that very much mimics the earth's hierarchy from rich to poor. You know, it's actually a pretty simple system of power and control. It's not about, and if you listen to like anything that they wrote about Jesus and what Jesus said and about just loving and all that, it has nothing to do with that hierarchy. You know what I mean? And you could definitely feel the parts of it that is made up BS versus the parts of it that was truly intended on bettering people, you know? Or just not making you, you know, just like the golden rule. You do the right thing. 9 ranks of demons, right? The more serious ones are more difficult to deal with. The exorcist revealed that he and his team run into the main ones that are named in the Bible, or the upper management. See, the upper management, the boss demon, you know? So I don't know. I think that he's talking from a certain perspective, you know. And if you want to protect yourself, going to a Catholic priest probably isn't going to do it, you know. And they I don't know, man. I don't like the arrogance, and I don't like them referencing their own materials to push their own narrative. You know, I feel like I'm being sold something instead of someone trying to help. You know what I mean? So if you're going to protect yourself from psychic attacks or demons, and you know what? Just like these druggies, man, who are out there, who are looking for people who are, you know, struggling in their lives, struggling mentally, physically, struggling spiritually, and they'll get a hold of you and give you some drugs. They're going to get you hooked, and then you're going to go back and keep, you know, buying until you destroy yourself, man. I hung out on this block in the city, and they sold a lot of drugs in that block. Freaking crack was going crazy, heroin, you know, even weed and that type of thing. It was like a one-stop shopping if you're a druggie, right? And I saw what it did to the people there and the kids on that block and all, you know, the people that were coming there to buy the crack. It's predominantly a black neighborhood, but everybody's coming with like white, you know, basically. And then, you know, they come from the next town over. It didn't have the high crime rate, didn't have all the problems that this place Far Rockaway had, you know. So it was just interesting watching these people be dismantled from a drug, from a substance, getting addicted. That's evil, man. That's evil. And, you know, you have to be able to stop these things and help people get back on their feet again, you know, and they succumb to these desires, right? And it's, you know what, once you're addicted to something and your body, your brain physiologically changes for that addiction, then what? And that's a demon, isn't it? They call them demons. So isn't a demon something that destroys you? It's not something that helps you. It's something that completely destroys you. So that in of itself, I don't think that there's a lot of exorcists in a structural church that can even wrap their mind around something like that. And the different various ways that you can help people, aside from saying, you know, they got demons and you got to do this. There's a protocol. There's a right? There's a format. You're not following the format, buddy. You imagine the demon. You're the demon and you're inside of somebody. You're puking up, hissing. Here comes a priest. You're hissing at him. Yeah, priest is like doing his thing. And then you're like, you're not following the format, priesty. Then you throw him out the window, you know. And that's another thing. If these are like these powerful demons on this high level, then how come they don't throw these guys out the window? How come you don't see priests, you know, be like just anything? You know what I mean? Because if I'm a demon, I'm not going to sit there and listen to some priest talk unless it's entertaining. And, you know, it's not entertaining. Unless they're actually doing the word of God and the will of God. And, you know, they're there to drive these demons out. Right. So. But I don't know, man. I told the story of a good friend of mine who became an actor, and he was acting. He was in Sex and the City. He was, you know, NYPD Law, whatever the hell it was at the time, whatever, you know. This guy got hung out with a group, and these people were doing some janky stuff, you know, and he was a Muslim who converted back from a Christian to Muslim, back to a Christian again, and then was hanging out with these people. And then he said he started hearing voices and seeing things and whatever, and these things were swirling above him while he's trying to sleep at night, all kinds of stuff like that. And if I'm going to tell you, man, if it came from anyone else, I would be like, oh, come on, you know, really? Or, you know, what, you lose your mind type of thing? But not this dude. I've known him too long and too well. And basically, he had to separate himself from those people. He said that even when he was shooting, you know, these TV shows, there was parts that they couldn't use because there was voices on in the recording. The director would say, what the hell are these voices? And they would have to scrap it and shoot the scene again. That's pretty heavy, man. And at the end, he said that he prayed to Jesus and said, please give me the power to fight this devil myself. Don't do it for me. Give me the power to do it myself and kick his ass. And he said that's how he got rid of what was going on. And you know what? That's pretty heavy, man. So when it comes to fighting, no matter what, people believe in good energy, right? And spiritual warfare, you might want to use crystals. People like crystals. I know people that preach crystals. I think they're pretty. I think they should be left in the ground where they belong, you know. But crystals. More about with a lot of these things, more about you spiritually, right? Interacting. Don't think of a tangible, here's a crystal in my hand, I'm going to use it to vanquish you. You know what? I'm really into martial arts, right? All my life, you know, since I was a kid. And I learned all kinds of stuff and all kinds of forms. I don't just get into, and, you know, basically it's Nai Chi and Wai Chi of Kung Fu, internal and external, which covers so many different things. And there's so many people along the way who you know, have great forms. So there's things that I really love, Tai Chi Chuan, Qi Gong, Pakwa, Singi, you know, Singi, you know, Pakwa and Baguazhan, very similar, probably the same thing, safe to say. And I don't know, whatever. You go through all the little formats of the moves, right? And then you realize that it's your own body that is interacting with you know, your body's doing the moves. So there's nothing set in stone. It's how best you can really are capable of handling things, you know, mentally, physically, spiritually, right? So if you are spiritual and you're fighting a spiritual war, you're not doing it physically. So the physical has very little to do with that spiritual world. You know, I'm not saying it doesn't interact. It does in a way, but crystals, I don't know. But there are people that believe that crystals can repel negative energies. You know, black onyx, obsidian, smoky quartz, amethyst, fluorolite, tiger's eye, all good stuff, right? And they say always use your intuition when choosing crystals because you want the best for you. You know, we do investigations. We use the white light thing. They say it's white light meditation. So you close your eyes, take a few deep breaths. You calm your heart, calm your mind. And then your mind's eye, your pineal gland, your third eye, we talked about that on the show a while back. You imagine a beautiful, bright, white light surrounding your entire body. You feel the light protecting, warming, and comforting you. And I'm going to take you a step further. You should envision that light going inside of you, through you, every cell in your body, everything that's inside of you bursting out. You, your pets, your family, around your house, you envision that white light and you push out anything that you think is bad, you know? So you can make the light as wide and bright as you desire. Some people like a golden light, you know, which is kind of nice. You can even include objects, like I said before, or other people. But, you know, a good way to protect yourself. When we first got into this paranormal investigation stuff, we were told by a few mediums about white light and protecting yourself and make sure that you tell those spirits to stay where they are and not come with you, you know. Don't invite them with you. People like sage, burning sage or smudging. It's an ancient shamanic practice. It's believed to help remove negative energies of spirits. Smudging is typically practiced in spaces, you know, your home, office, or whatever. And it's going to smell like some marijuana, man. You know what I mean? People are going to think that maybe you're passing the Dutchie on the left-hand side. Something that got going on. People might call Popo. Get cops knock on your door and be like, hey, man, I'm just smudging the house. That's a good excuse anyway. You know, even if you are smoking some weed and cops, you know. Police. Yes, officer. You smell marijuana. No. Just getting rid of evil spirits, man. You know, got some whiskey too. You know what I mean? So, but smudging, you know what? It's more about you mentally. And like I said, spiritually getting it out there. Essential oils. I like them after a shower, I have to say. Essential oils, there you go. Get lawyers to chase the spirits out, man. No demon's going to hang around your house with 1-800 lawyers showing up, you know. We'll sue you, you demonic bastard. We'll sue you. Sue you back to Satan. Oh, boy. The liability, man. Essential oils, great for cleansing and protection. Dab a few drops behind your ears before a date might work. Sandalwood oil on the front or back of your neck for a psychic cleaning. You know, I think oils are good. Myrrh oil, great. You know, a lot of good stuff. Epsom salt bath. You know, Scott Cunningham, this guy who was big in Wiccan, Talked to him one time. He said Epsom salt bath. He gave yourself a salt bath, salt rub to get rid of all kinds of bad stuff. So you fill up your warm bath with salts, flowers, essential oils. All right. And then you can, you know, whatever, clean yourself. You're nice and clean for that demonic possession, man. Prayers and chanting, you know, design your own chant or prayer. It could be extremely powerful, especially if it's yours. And then if you think about the loved ones that want to help you push these things out, that's good too. So, and of course, bells, gongs, and chimes. My favorite way to get rid of demons is having belly dancers come in, man, and do their thing, you know? Entertaining for all, including the demons. Incense, you know, like I said, sage, that type of thing. When I work out and I do my thing, I always burn incense and always have a white candle going. Amulets. There are plenty of amulets, trinkets you can get. You can go to an antique store. Be careful that those things aren't cursed, though. But you want to be able to push them out, man. And we don't have time to talk about all these cases of demonic possessions where it wasn't real and people got killed because of these priests were crazy about it. But anyway, I'm going to end the show there because we got other people coming up. This is Michael Engley on Discovery Paranormal on United Public Radio Network. And we are heavily into Ghost Month, October. Think about what you're doing for Halloween, man. Let me know. I will see you guys on this here show next week. Bye-bye.
Are you hungry for the usual today? Or are you ready to spice things up with the new Nashville Hot Brisket from Firehouse Subs? We're kicking up our slow-smoked beef brisket with Nashville Hot Seasoning. It's topped with melted pepper jack and our sweet and tangy slaw, served piping hot on a toasted cornbread roll. Yeah, a cornbread roll. Save time. Order your new Nashville Hot Brisket on the Firehouse Subs app today. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations limited time only. Are you hungry for the usual today? Or are you ready to spice things up with the new Nashville Hot Brisket from Firehouse Subs? We're kicking up our slow-smoked beef brisket with Nashville Hot Seasoning. It's topped with melted pepper jack and our sweet and tangy slaw, served piping hot on a toasted cornbread roll. Yeah, a cornbread roll. Save time. Order your new Nashville Hot Brisket on the Firehouse Subs app today. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only.